morning, everyone. Well, we're continuing in our study through Isaiah. And of course, today is Friday. And I've been amazed at how that the same theme runs over and over through the book of Isaiah. I recommend people read starting with the 40th chapter of Isaiah and go all the way through the end of the book, 66th. Oh, that thou wouldst rinse the heavens and thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, that the fire causes the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Notice that God has adversaries. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. But be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Speaking here to Zion, speaking to his elect. The holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, thus Jerusalem a desolation, our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised these burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou return again for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Isaiah 64:1-12. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me. Behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense on altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence. But will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your father together, saith the Lord, which has burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for the blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Well, it's all, though, concludes with the good news. He goes on and says, The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my footstool, and the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Well, God is the one who causes us to fear him. And hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. And one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Notice the distinction between those who are his and those who are not. That's the theme that runs all the way through. That's why I've entitled this book, The Lord Does, or God Does Not Love Everyone. But God has his chosen vessels. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. There is preservation in God. He is the one who has all things in his hands. He's the one who's ordained peace for us. And he's the one that we can look to for our comfort and for our daily sustenance. So this morning, let us remember this. I want to recognize Helen, Rayobi, Rodney, Joseph. We have two Josephs. We have Joseph Van Den Heever and Joseph Madadi, William Andros, Eddie Denelia, Dada Silas. I welcome everyone. I can't see everyone that's on here, but Tom Deho. You know, God has his people all over the world. We've got people listening in Uganda, in India, in the Philippines, in China, all parts of Africa, in Asia. He has his people everywhere, from every tongue, every people, and every nation. He's called us out, a remnant, an elect, and he refers to us as Zion, Zion. So this morning, let us rejoice in what God has done for his people. He has not abandoned his people. He is on the throne, and he remembers his own. And so, when trials come upon us, let us be glad that God has shed his precious blood on the cross for us. He has given us life and liberty in the gospel. I wanted to read something this morning, if I can get my hands on it here. See if I can get my hands on it. This is a little book that I've, the last little book that I've written is called Poems for Edification, Volume 4. That's my wife and my son there on the front of that. And I want to read you a couple things out of this little booklet. Why? Why would Christ care for a sinner like me? Why would he love me before the foundation of the world? Why would he suffer and die on the cross? Why would he pay such a tremendous cost? Why would he promise to come again for me? Why would he send a comforter while I await his return? Why would he love me forever, never from me to turn? He did it because he loved me, not because of any good that I would do or have done. He did it because the Father gave me to his Son. He did it because of an eternal pact, the victory he has won. This love I will never fully grasp or understand, but love answers the why. It was his eternal plan. Also, Christ did not say it would be an easy road. He did not say there would be no suffering or pain. He did not say we would not be scoffed and ridiculed. Christ did not say we would not be held in disdain. But Christ did say, I will never leave you or forsake you. He did say, come unto me and I will give you rest. He did say, underneath me are his everlasting arms. And he did say, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'm thankful for what Christ did say. The next one is entitled, I'm a Sinner Saved by Grace. Let it never be misunderstood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserved the wrath of God, and it was placed on Christ instead. When I think how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree, and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did show, when I deserved to be cast into hell to there forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity, for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Well, before we conclude, the final one I want to read is called When Hope and Faith is Given. Hope, like faith and repentance, is a gift from God, and when it's given, belief gives its nod. They are joined together, sent from heaven above. Do you remember the first time that you had hoped that Christ died for you? This faith and belief and hope was a gift, so true. We could never have faith, belief, or hope when we were dead in sin. This is the greatest evidence that we've been born again. By the Holy Spirit of God who gave us these things, including repentance, causing our heart to flee to Christ, and then joy he brings. Having the assurance that Christ died for our sins is the greatest joy that could ever be. Knowing that we are a part of the elect family, bought by his blood, adopted by him, before we were even born, chosen to be ransomed from our sins. This is the greatest miracle, that Christ died for me, adopting me into his family, and dying on the rugged tree. This is my eternal song that I will forever sing. Thanks be to Calvary, I'm forever free, and eternal life he did bring. Well, may the good Lord be with you this day, bless you and keep you. And I'll tell you what, I will post these poems that I read this morning up on Facebook for you. I think I have them where I can post them for you. But may the good Lord be with you and keep you this Friday. And may you have a blessed weekend.